IVM.
Hey folks, this is your host Anupam Gupta. I want to tell you all about Club Paisa Vaisa. This is a premium tier offering for fans of the show. Members of this club have a few privileges and let me tell you about them. First, members will get access to episodes 3 days prior to the release. Second, members will get archival access to all Paisa Vaisa episodes and the non-members will get access to the latest 15 episodes. Three, I'll bring you weekly host insights giving you my personal learnings from each episode on the show. Four, and all of this, folks, all of this comes with a completely ad-free experience. And finally, number five, starting 2023, we have some exciting plans for new exclusive content that is available only for members. So you can go to club.ivmpodcast.com/paisavaisa or click on the link in the description and sign up today. It's an introductory offer at ₹699 for a one-year membership. Note that starting 2023, all Paisa Vaisa episodes will become a part of Club Paisa Vaisa and the non-members will get access to the latest 15 episodes. I really hope you enjoyed, folks, and I'll see you on the other side. Folks, welcome to Paisa Vaisa, presented by Cred, the most rewarding credit card bill payments app, and powered by Quarter. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And guess what, guys? We've got a returning guest. I love returning guests. My guest today is Avinash Lutsriya, fee-only, advice-only financial planner and SEBI-registered investment advisors at Fiduciaries. Guys, I wish I had this kind of job, but we'll get into the details of what each of those things means. Avinash was, of course, on Paisa Vaisa last year in Jan 2020 before, you know, what happened. He was in the studio and he was busting a lot of myths that were going around investments. He's based in Bangalore. And today on this episode, we're going to talk about advice. We're going to talk about trust. And we are going to talk about how you can choose a good financial planner. But before that, let's take a short credit convenience break and we'll be right back on the other side. Avinash, welcome to Paisa Vaisa. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners. Tell us something about yourself for those who don't know you from episode 223. Folks, that's the episode number you want to listen to listen to Avinash's previous episode that he done at Paisa Vaisa. Avinash, all yours.
Thanks, Anupam. So the largest part of my career was as a private equity investor. That was 12 years of my career. Most of it as a partner and member of the founding team at a top 10 Indian private equity venture capital firm. Prior to that, I done my MBA from IIM Bangalore in finance, a 2-year full-time MBA. And for the last 3+ years, I am SEBI registered investment advisor and a fee-only, advice-only financial planner. What that means is someone who charges clients based on the number of hours of effort that I put in. So my fees are exactly hourly fee, which in my case is 7,000 an hour multiplied by number of hours, more in the first year because I'm trying to get the client in sync with my way of thinking and understand them. And much lower in subsequent years if they choose to renew the engagement. That's exactly what fee-only, advice-only means.
Lovely.
There are essentially only 25 such people in India, and I'm one of those 25 people.
Good to know that. And we'll get into all of that into detail on this episode. So, okay, Avinash, let's start. Now, back in October 2020, I just asked this on Twitter, okay, to everybody, that what stops you from hiring a financial planner? And I got a whole load of replies. And the overwhelmingly common reply, okay, or the one thing that stopped a lot of people from hiring a financial planner was trust, or rather the lack of it. We call it the trust deficit, common cliche these days. People, for some reason, don't trust the planner they hire. Now, please understand, Avinash, that I'm using planner in a very generic way, okay? Because for people who are not as savvy as you are, they wouldn't know the difference between, you know, someone who's a friend, someone who's a mutual fund distributor, someone who's an RIA, someone who's whatever, a certified financial planner, blah, blah. For them, planner, advisor, everything is the same. So I want to first address this issue at a broad level. In general, why don't people trust the professionals or whoever it is from whom they get financial advice? Why is this trust deficit there?
Yes, actually, I have written a dozen articles saying that actually the problem is much worse than people think it is. So it's actually a serious problem, a big problem. Let me give a simple explanation for what the problem is. The problem is that in various ways, the more common model that exists in India is that you pay a financial planner, I'll get to it in more detail, but it's essentially trying to teach you about financial planning. That's the job of the financial planner, teaching about financial planning and investing. He's a teacher, essentially. You're paying this person, the most common model is you're paying them 1% of your assets under management, or in simplicity, like net worth, something like net worth in a year. What people who are not that finance savvy don't realize is that you have to think of it over the as the cost over your lifetime. When you do that over, say, a 30-year period, 30 years at 1% of your net worth or assets under management is, to be very precise, 26% of that investment. If it's your net worth, it's like paying 26% of that money to this person who's teaching you how to manage your money in exchange for their advice to you. Take, just to keep the numbers round numbers, imagine I'm taking a slightly high net worth individual who has 10 crores to invest and 10 crores net worth. They live in a rental apartment, let's say. Over this 30 years, they have paid 26% of that money to this advisor, which is 2.6 crores, which is in a city like Bangalore, as good as gifting your apartment to your advisor and buying your neighbor's apartment and gifting that also to your advisor. It's quite ridiculous. So if at the end of the day, your advisor has got your apartment and your neighbor's apartment, which he made you buy, I mean, what's happening? So essentially, this trust deficit is quite justified and the dominant model is not in client's interest.
Okay, understood. You're saying 10 crores at a present value level, not 30 years down the line, right?
Yeah, the 26% is today's number and the 2.6 crores is today's 2.6 crores. Not in actual number, you would have paid me much more than 2.6 crores, including inflation. But in today's number, you would have paid you're starting with 10 crores, you would have paid 2.6 crores, which in a city like Bangalore is two apartments.
Okay, understood. So let's get into the specifics here, right? Because, you know, going back to what the replies that I had got, and when people talk about trust, they talk about mis-selling. They talk about, you're talking about 1% being on the higher side or whatever it is. So in your view, you know, and since in the previous episode, you had spoken about some, you had busted a lot of myths. In your view, in your experience, from whatever you hear or whatever your clients come up and ask, what are the top three or the top five singularly worst pieces of advice that you have actually heard advisors giving to their clients?
Yeah. So I probably sound a bit like a spoiled tape recorder, but the starting point of the bad advice starts from misalignment on the fee structure, and that leads to the bad advice. So you have to see the link to understand it. So let's look at three fee models and see how it works. One is the distributor model of mutual fund distributor, insurance distributor, etc. Forget insurance distributor. Insurance is, I mean, we all pretty much know it's a useless investment product. Let's talk about mutual funds, which are a little more sensible investment products. There is, because the commissions are much higher, as I mentioned on the previous episode we did together, the commissions are much higher on equity mutual funds than debt mutual funds. Sometimes two, three times the commission. A mutual fund distributor has a very strong motivation to recommend equity mutual funds. So you will, when sometimes I look at portfolios of new clients and it's got 80% equity, 90% equity. And these are people who don't fully understand equity as asset class. And even if I understand equity as an asset class, I can't handle that line, that level of equity. So it's the fee structure which has driven this bad advice of 80% equity, 90% equity allocation. Let's look at another model and how that drives bad advice. So the percentage of AUM, 1% of AUM advice fee is little better because at least it's asking the client for the fee upfront. But there are two bits of problem there. One is that since the fee is so high, the advisor has to hold on to that client and not let that client go. The way that the advisor would do that is to give advice that is so complex that the client cannot manage without the advisor. So then you have to advise active mutual funds, factor funds, sector funds, direct equity, everything under the sun, which complicates the advice. And each of those products also have higher fees often compared to, say, a simple index fund. So it's the need for the advisor to keep that client who's a high fee generating client that then results in very expensive products because the advisor needs to suggest complex products. Let me take one last fee structure, which is somewhat, I mean, people have managed to even mess up the fixed fee structure. So when SEBI thought of the fixed fee structure, I thought of it for financial planning. But the fixed fee structure for SEBI registered investment advisors also allows a whole host of other advice. So people use it as a PMS-like service also, though that's not what SEBI intended. So you can invest 1.5 lakh rupees, and even that, just providing advice on that 1.5 lakh rupees of investment. And there, sometimes some of the public options that exist for this PMS-like option, the fees are as high as 50,000 rupees for a year to manage that 1.5 lakh rupees. So here we're screaming about 1% of the money going off in fees. Here's 30% of the money going off in 1 year in fees, 30%. So every fee structure has been complicated and compromised in some way. And often the fee structure is the driver of the bad advice.
Let's get into that. What are the various models out there? And I think SEBI has some recent rules or mandate. And folks, just a clarification out here. We are talking only about the RIA model, okay? The Registered Investment Advisor model. We are not talking about mutual fund distributors. They have a separate way of charging, of getting their money. So we are not talking about that. We're talking only about the RIA a model. Avinash, tell us, what are the various fee structures out there, various models out there, and what do SEBI's, I don't know, SEBI keeps on issuing RIA rules. So if you could just walk our listeners through that.
Yeah, so since some clients may not know what SEBI RIA is, let me just back up and explain that. So SEBI itself realized that the distribution model has severe conflicts of interest, as I explained earlier. So SEBI said, okay, we need to fix this. The SEBI's attempt to fix this, it made many attempts. And one attempt was that in 2013, SEBI came up with the SEBI Registered Investment Advisor, SEBI Investment Advisor regulations, which said that you need to register with SEBI, unlike a mutual fund distributor who can be a 10th standard pass 18-year-old. Here, you need to have a post-graduation, you need to have 5 years of relevant experience, relevant post-graduation, et cetera, so you're older, et cetera, all of that automatically. So it's a very new regulation. People haven't heard of SEBI Registered Investment Advisors very often. The crux of the SEBI Registered Investment Advisor fee structure is unlike the commission model where the fees are getting deducted from your investment without your knowledge, say 1% getting deducted every year without the client's knowledge. At least here, you know how much you're typically, you know how much you're paying the RIA. So SEBI said, once it's clear that the client knows that they're paying this fee, firstly, it's good that the client just knows that they're paying such a big fee or whatever fee, a low fee, high fee, whatever. The client should know. They have a right to know. So they should pay it voluntarily. The second is that it ties the advisor to try to act in the interest of the client, unlike a mutual fund distributor who is conflicted between working for the mutual fund versus the client. Here, you're getting paid by the client. You jolly well work for the client if you're getting paid by the client. I mean, so if not, the client will get rid of you as an advisor. So that was SEBI's thinking. SEBI has provided a fair amount of flexibility on how the fees can be charged. The two dominant models under this are, one is what's called a percentage of assets under management. SEBI calls it percentage of assets under advice, but it's the same thing. So for example, the example of a client who has 10 crores in mutual funds. If he's paying his RIA 1%, he's paying that RIA on every year basis, 10 lakh rupees, which is a pretty big amount of money. The second model is what people like myself subscribe to, where the fees are a function of the number of hours of effort that the RIA puts in for that client. You're essentially teaching the client, you spend a certain number of hours teaching the client, charge for this number of hours that you're teaching them or helping review their portfolio, etc. So it manifests itself in two ways. One is people who are serving higher net worth clients like myself, very explicitly say that this is my fee per hour, this is the number of hours, X multiplied by Y is Z, which is your fee. More in the first year to get in sync. The second year onwards, if a client chooses to renew, much less because, you know, you're just making some tiny tweaks or discussing some new product that came up that the client wants to know about. People who focus on more lower net worth clients don't break down the fee into hourly fee multiplied by hours. They just say, anyway, the fee is so low. It's like, you know, 20,000 a year in the second year or 15,000 a year in the second year. I won't get into the nitty-gritty of explaining, they'll say. And they just quote a fee like 10, 15,000 rupees or whatever on an ongoing basis. The second year onwards, fees is more predictable and understandable. The first year tends to have much more effort, so it tends to be a slightly higher fee. So these are the two dominant models within financial planning in under the SEBI RIA model.
Okay.
There is an asterisk to it. SEBI's model largely prevents any RIA from distributing products like mutual funds. Essentially, it prevents it by saying that as an RIA, an individual RIA cannot do that, but a corp like myself cannot do that, but a corporate RIA can have two divisions. And SEBI from 1st of April 2021 has said that you pick whether you want this client to be a distribution client of the RIA or the client is RIA client. It cannot be both because it just confuses the client and it's not fair to the client that you're charging them a fee and also earning a commission from them. SEBI has not, there is a small loophole that SEBI has not been not fixed, which is it has not controlled distribution of non-SEBI products. So things insurance investment products like ULIPs, etc. So it's a gray area of the law there. And some RIAs use that gray area to also earn a commission on insurance investment products like ULIPs. So still the client of an RIA needs to be careful and have in the agreement, I'm jumping ahead, but have in the agreement a point that this RIA will not earn any commissions from any form, directly or indirectly from my investments or your advice that you're giving me, to plug that loophole.
We'll get to that. Why are fees important, Avinash? Okay, and let me just give you some background to that. So one is, India is famous for people not wanting to pay for any service and assuming I want all my advice for free. I refuse to pay. And a lot of advisors, on the other hand, simply won't sign up clients because what are you bringing to me? I mean, 15 lakhs, 20 lakhs is nothing. I have a minimum threshold of 5 crores, 10 crores. You yourself only handle ultra HNIs. So, you know, because that justifies the kind of effort that you're doing. How do we solve this here? I mean, you know, one set of people don't want to pay. Probably there are some who do want to pay, but the RIAs say that you're not worth my time. So, and I want to make a big, you know, I just want to add one point out there that a lot of people want to compare advisors to lawyers and doctors and say that, okay, do you actually go and get medicine on your own? You don't. But the thing is that a doctor gives you a prescription and, you know, that prescription is required when you buy the medicine and he gives you a specific service. A lawyer, you can't stand up in court yourself. You need to have certain degrees. But in investments, you need nothing.
Yeah.
You can open a brokerage account. You can sign up on any mutual fund platform. You can sign up with any mutual fund. You can do whatever you want. And there's tons of advice out there. So just help me make sense of this entire thing.
True. I think exactly as you said, you do not need, SEBI has designed this so beautifully that you do not, as I mentioned on the previous time we spoke, you do not need any advisor to buy direct plans of mutual fund, which have zero commissions. You can buy an index fund, which has fees of 0.2% per annum, debt fund, which have fees of 0.1% per annum. You just go to the mutual fund website and do it. You don't need any advice. You don't need any intermediary of any kind. And I think that's the beauty of what SEBI has done in investors' favor. That also means that a lot of people would choose then to do things themselves. And that's very common. I think people differ in their natural inclination to get advice versus not. Like some of us use the help of a chartered accountant to help file our tax return. Some of us don't. Each of us has our own style sometimes. And that's quite fine. And it's, I think it's quite normal also. I mean, it's also a lot of personal information about yourself you're revealing. So you have to feel confident that the person is not going to abuse your trust in them. It's such a tough choice. About people paying fees, when the first such people like me started on this back in 2014-15, it was a fairly tough explanation. People thought they were getting free advice from distributors. Just telling people that they have to pay a tiny fee was hard enough. And hats off to those early people who actually, I mean, faced that uphill battle. And today there are thousands and thousands of people who have used the services of hourly fee or fixed fee advisors like myself, these 25 people, thousands. So sometimes one of those individuals has sometimes, I mean, those are focusing on slightly lower net worth clients, themselves have like 500 clients, 1,000 clients, maybe active clients could be only 500. People may not always renew all the time. So there are actually thousands of people who have now used this approach and are relatively happy with it. It is still a challenge. People would hesitate to pay fees, which is normal. I mean, even when I had to pay a fee for something, I would also hesitate and think twice. And I think that's pretty human, pretty normal. It's a choice that a person has to make.
Sure.
And perfectly fine, really. A couple of small caveats. So actually the set of these 25, many of them are focused on relatively lower net worth clients. So some of them have clients, I'm not talking of myself, I'm talking of them. I'll talk about myself later. Have clients who are in financial distress, almost zero net worth. Some even have negative net worths. And many of them are actually offering discounts to people who cannot afford the fees, who are in financial distress, like a woman whose husband passed away, has children to suddenly support and manage. She was not working. And many of them are actually offering discounts to such people on humanitarian grounds. So actually, there is no real lower bound to seeking this advice. There are, in practice, I mean, there's a caveat. I mean, there are some lower bounds, but for practical purposes, there is nobody listening to this podcast who cannot afford this service. I engage with slightly higher net worth clients, and not ultra high net worth at all, but just higher net worth. The way to think of my typical client is someone who, if he was 60 years old today and retired, would have a lifestyle as a couple of 1.5 lakhs a month, including rent. So you could call that upper middle class or whatever. So that's my client profile, not ultra high net worth. And I'm focusing on the apex of this pyramid of net worth. And essentially what I do is I focus on the most knowledgeable clients. That's my niche. So as I mentioned last time, I have clients who are even fund managers, et cetera. So, but the whole host of the remaining 24, I have worked with clients of all kinds of net worths and income levels and all of that. So at least to the extent of these 25, I don't think that's a challenge. For someone who charges a percentage of AUM, yes, they tend to have sometimes a minimum net worth. And some of them say, okay, if the net worth is too low, then there's a certain minimum fee that we will charge on an ongoing basis, like 25,000 or something like that.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a break now. When we come back on the other side of this episode, we're going to talk about the advisor models that are out there. How do the models work? What's ideal for you? Making a checklist about how you should choose a financial advisor. So on that note, it's time to take the credit convenience break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And folks, it's time for a listener's question. Someone who wants to track sectors in the stock markets.
Hey Anupam, where can I track the quarterly numbers for a set of companies that I create? Like, say I want to track the telecom sector.
I'll tell you what, you know, check out the Quarter app. First, you would want to make a list of companies that are there in the telecom sector, like Bharti or Vodafone, etc., etc. And then maybe if you want to add some equipment suppliers there, and let's say that you have a set of 5 or 10 companies that are there in the telecom sector, make a list of that and check out the Quarter app, right? The app lets you make favorites and put them into one section within the app, and then you can track the quarterly numbers for all these companies within the Quarter app, you know, all the earnings table and investor presentations and conference calls, annual reports, all of that stuff within the Quarter app. That's Quartr. That's a Quarter app. And welcome back to the RIA special. My guest, Avinash Luthria, SEBI-registered investment advisor at Fiduciaries. Okay, good. So Avinash, so far in the first half of this episode, we spoke a lot about, you know, a lot of stuff on the generic level, the concept level. We've all understood that. So now let's get down to specifics, right? Tell us, and we've already covered this in detail in the first part, but I just want to give it a small repetition out here. Tell our listeners the various RIA models out there that are based on fees. Probably discuss it in a bit of detail. At what does percentage of AUM or AUA, assets under advice, say, work? How does the flat fee only or the advice only model that you follow, how do these models exactly work for me as a person who's coming to you for advice? I think you can look upon this in one way, Avinash. One, what are the services that you offer at the start on a recurring basis? And two, how do I pay these fees to you? Do I sign a check? Do I give it to you? You know, how does that work? So let's just drill down this fee model now. For advisors.
Sure. So let me give the listener some context to understand these fees firstly, to put them in context. So if you look to the kind of products that I recommended on the previous episode we spoke, if a client were to go listen to that episode, build a portfolio based on that, that's not the way they should do it, but let's assume they did, which is entirely a domestic mutual fund portfolio. The fees that they would be paying in a direct plan of a mutual fund, or fees that would be getting deducted by the mutual fund each year, they're not paying it directly, it's getting deducted, would be less than 0.2% per annum on the blended portfolio of Nifty 50 index fund and overnight debt mutual funds. The blended fee on the two would be less than 0.2% per annum. So essentially, a financial planner is offering two things. One is some amount of financial planning, which is saying how much do you need to save a year? What should your asset allocation look like? That's coming already into the investment territory. And the third is what specific product should you use? We can drill into each of those. But just to give you a sense, he's saying I'm doing these three things for you, plus some miscellaneous things. And what should be a fair fee that you pay to this person? So look at it in the context of the mutual fund portfolio, which has a fee of 0.2%. If you go to think about it, you'll say, okay, the mutual fund portfolio, if this kind of mutual fund portfolio has fees of 0.2%, maybe I'll pay this guy 0.1%, 0.1%, not 1%, 0.1%. I mean, he's giving advice, not just on investments, but on financial planning, etc. So, you know, that's how someone would think of it if they fully understood the big picture of the whole thing. I mean, I'm not saying 0.1 is the right kind of fee structure. I'm just saying it's intuitive to people to think portfolio fees are 0.2%. Someone is giving me a layer above that of saying, how much should I save? How should I invest it? Okay, I can offer them something for that extra advice. Again, the two fee structures are radically different in how they go about this. So one is the percentage of AUM fee structure, where the fees are all the way from 0.25% is the lowest fee I have heard of on an ongoing basis, to I've heard of about 1.5% per annum also, which is pretty high.
And to clarify that, you also have to add 18% GST?
Yes, typically, yes.
Okay, correct. Go on, please.
So the very normal number, I mean, 0.25 is quite an extremely, I mean, there's only 1% I know of for that fee. And there are several with 1.5, but I think a more normal is 1%. So for that 10 crore mutual fund hypothetical person, it's 10 lakhs he's paying each year for advice. We'll get to what the person like myself is doing But okay, so let's talk about what the person like myself is doing and then explain what exactly we do.
Yeah.
So the person like myself, I'll explain two cases. One is my case because, and I'm not very relevant to some of the listeners because I'm focusing on, you could say, upper middle class kind of people and or high net worth kind of people, etc. And I'll take one more example of a more normal case of another RIA.
Sure.
So in my case, I'm putting in 17 hours of effort for a new client to discuss these three things and a few miscellaneous things. One is how much should they be saving each year? For that, you need to figure out where they are on the path to saving. Maybe they've started late. They need to save more than they normally would like to, or go into the nuances, or they have a very unstable career due to which they need to be saving more now that they're earning more and you never can predict what their career.
I think that as a flat benchmark, we all need to save 100 times more than what we're saving right now. I don't think you need to explain it. And your columns have also said that you basically need to not spend at all and only save everything. Okay, go on.
So it's depressing.
It's very depressing.
Yes. The second thing like someone like myself is doing is talking about asset allocation, often telling my clients that, you know, you're taking too much of risk. Some of these are covered in the previous episode. I mean, I've not met a person who can afford to have more than 50% in equity of their net worth. And though I have fund managers as clients, I still don't know such a person, including myself. And the third is which specific products, which specific mutual funds, which specific index funds, are they international index funds which invest in the US S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100, et cetera, et cetera. What particular products you want to pick on the equity side? On the debt side, just understanding fixed deposits versus debt funds, which debt fund, not taking much risk in debt funds, all of that. And then some miscellaneous, like, you know, telling the client, do they have life insurance, health insurance, what they should have, the importance of a will, what they need to cover in a will, some of those miscellaneous. This consumes 17 hours of effort for me, 2/3 of it in conversations with the client, 1/3 of it, some back-end work, typing out some recommendations, some calculations on their goals, all of that. This is in the first year. In the second year onwards, most of my clients actually do not renew the engagement because the portfolio is so simple of just index funds. They don't need ongoing advice. A few, 20% of them may just immediately renew. But I put in about 3.5 hours of effort in those subsequent years if they choose to renew. And as I said, most of them don't renew the engagement because it's supposed to, I'm trying to put it on autopilot. I'm trying to make it such that they do not need me. In my case, success is defined by the client not needing to renew the engagement with me. And in each of these cases, I'm charging 7,000 per hour multiplied by those hours. So in an ongoing year, it's 7,000 multiplied by 3.5 hours, which is 24,500. In a first year, it's 7,000 multiplied by 17, which is 1.19 lakhs.
Irrespective of whether I come to you with 1 rupee or with 100 crores.
Correct. So I have clients, my range, as I mentioned on my website, is 1 crore to 100 crore net worth with some age logic. I mean, one, it's not required to have 100, but I'm saying 1 crore was meant for the younger clients, really. So if the client has 1 crore or 100 crores, the fees are the same. It doesn't make a difference to me. It's possible a high net worth client might renew the engagement more often, or even some, maybe a small, tiny proportion might even consume the 3.5 hours in the second year and want to again buy some more hours, and that's fine. I mean, that's their choice. Let me explain one more model because mine is a little on the upper end of the net worth spectrum. So take another RIA who is actually recommended on my website for someone who falls below this net worth criteria. The net worth basically says that you're unlikely to get value for money from my fees if your net worth is less than that 1 crore for a young person. So it says that please, in that case, contact these two people. One is a person, RIA called Swapnil Kende, another RIA called S.R. Srinivasan, and decide between them. And so take Swapnil's fee structure as a more normal fee structure. He doesn't explain the fee structure in hours on his site because it's low enough fee, but he charges effectively 2,000 per hour, and he puts in 12 hours in the first year, and he puts in 5 hours in the second year. So in his first year, his fee is 12 multiplied by 2 is 24, which is 25,000. And the second year, it's 5 hours multiplied by 2,000, which is 10,000 rupees a year, which he'd probably review it every 6 months with a client, something like that. So these are, at least we look at Swapnil's fees, they're fairly affordable fees. He also uses the index fund approach of recommending only index funds, at least within equity mutual funds, which puts the portfolio on autopilot for subsequent years. So that's essentially what a financial planner is doing. You can couch it in all kinds of complexity and say, you know, I'm going to try to beat the market for you. I'm going to practically move your portfolio between equity and debt. I am going to help you direct equity. All of that can be added as complexity just to justify a higher fee, which is often a percentage of AUM fee. But essentially, none of that adds any value to the client. It's essentially adding value to the RIA, not to the client. And lastly, I'll stop with this, but the RIA is essentially acting like a teacher, and the teacher knows more about this than you. That because RIA knows more than you about this topic, not the client, not you, but the client, okay. The RIA is saying the RIA can use that extra knowledge to either help the client, or the RIA can use that knowledge to get the client to continue the engagement at a high fee and benefit the RIA. So it is, you can use that knowledge, the RIA can use that knowledge for good or a little more deviously.
Okay. Now, so far from your, from your blog, from the stuff that you've written, my next question was going to be, who's the ideal client for what? But I mean, going by whatever you said, what you've written, you've taken a vocal standard percentage of AUM is not good for anybody, period. Whether it's poor, rich, high net worth, low net worth, whoever it is. Did I get that right?
Yes, there is a one criteria for someone to work with a RIA like us. Should I get into that?
Yeah, so if you take out the percentage of AUM model or AUA model, which I think what at least 50-60% of the industry, the RIA in industry is focused on that. Am I right in that?
Yeah, probably you could say 90%+ of
focus on. So you're saying 90% of the industry itself is distorted.
Yeah. Okay, fine. 95%, yeah.
95% of the industry is distorted, which is whatever. Let's not get into that argument. So then you would say that the fixed fee, flat fee, advice only model is actually the way to go. That's what you would advise to to whoever is listening on the show, right?
Yes. One small challenge.
Please go on.
Is that in this model, often the RIA does not have time, and because he's charging relatively low fees, he doesn't have time to do lots of bells and whistles of helping the client with each specific execution. So each of these people will handhold the client of how to, use the mutual fund website or CAMS or whatever to make those direct plan investments and teach the client how to do it. They don't have time to, every time you want to make an SIP or every time you want to make an investment, they don't have time to do it for you. So you need clients who are willing to make that effort to log into the mutual fund website.
Let me get it right. So you're saying that you essentially are looking, what you would say the right approach or the right time would be someone who is fairly evolved, like someone who has the wherewithal to go to XYZ AMC, do his KYC, enter in his details, login, password, and create an account out there, a folio out there on that AMC's website. And you, the only advice that you would give me is that you need to choose XYZ, you need to choose Sensex, index, fund, direct, plan, growth. That's it, right?
No, the people like me would handhold them on how to do it the first time.
Okay.
They know exactly click this, click that, click this.
Okay.
You still need to be tech savvy enough to know what you're saying.
Sure.
And it could be a challenge for someone who's a senior citizen, etc. So we have to figure out. I think as of today that this model doesn't scale very well to senior citizens who are not internet savvy, for example.
Okay, that's fine.
It's simple enough. It's just like we never ask. I need some help for someone to help me open a fixed deposit because we figure out how to do it. The first time you do it is scary, but once you learn to do it, it's buying.
But then wouldn't you say that a platform is much easier that way? And there are tons of platforms, like Paytm Money, ET Money, Kuvera, blah, blah. And all of them I've been lucky enough to get them on my show. Don't you think that actually solves the problem?
Yes. Some of my clients do use those platforms. People like I give a host a menu of options to my clients who are not doing anything. One option is pick this, another option is pick that, etc. I'm okay if they use these platforms. My first choice often is to just recommend using something like CAMS, which offers access to about 60% of mutual funds in India, 60%, because I know that CAMS, even 5 years from now, this is their business model, which is just a vendor to the mutual fund. I can't predict the business model otherwise.
UX UI. That's what everybody talks about these days. UX UI. Sorry, anyway, we are diverting. Please complete your point.
Yeah, so they could use those platforms, and some of those platforms are more simple to use, or they have better apps maybe than some of the other things.
Okay, just winding down the episode now. Last couple of questions, Avinash. First is, how do you align expectations out here in terms of what you as an RIA, what Avinash Jutria as an RIA, or let's assume anybody, say the people that you advice on your website, whether it is Swapnil or whether it is Srinivas, how do you align expectations of what you can do and more importantly, what you cannot do? You just walk us through. Again, generic and conceptual level, because the next question is a check. So first, let's talk about this at a generic level.
Sure. So the harsh truth of what a financial planner can and cannot do is a financial planner, investment advisor, call it wealth manager, call it whatever you want to call it, cannot make any client rich. what they can do is prevent the client from doing silly things and mucking up their life, either in terms of not saving enough or crazy asset allocation or high fee products or any of those kind of things. So essentially, the financial planner is playing defense and helping the client to play defense. There is no way to play an attacking strategy, really. So essentially, the statement is there is no predictable way to get rich through investing. And that comes from a fundamental law of finance, which is, in simple English, what's called, in more technical terms, called no arbitrage. In simple English, called the law of no free lunch. If there was a predictable way to get rich through investing, all the finance textbooks would have to be burnt, because they're all built on this fundamental law. So no advisor, no financial planner anywhere in the world can make any client rich. Or there's no predictable way. They may randomly happen. It might happen. You know, say put money, someone says put money in some stock and that stock does 100x. Yes, they would get rich, but that's completely random. It's not predictable in any way. So the job of a financial planner is to just prevent clients from doing stupid things and destroying what they have worked so hard to create. So essentially, that's all that a financial planner can do. I'm making it sound quite simple. There are aspects of it which are more complex. For example, there are infinite number of complex products out there. So science clients will say, okay, well, what about factor funds? What about risk parity? What about anything under the sun? So, I mean, there are infinite number of ways to sell a good story. So part of my job as defense is to kind of defend against those stories. That's what I can do. And okay. And I think that's a useful service.
Sure. So I think let's wind down the show. Last question with, you know, distilling all the wisdom that you've put on the show so far. Give us a checklist. Like, our listeners are going to now look out for an RIA for the first time, and they could have whatever network. Let's not get into networks out here. Sure. But if they're going to make a checklist of questions, you know, and they're getting those questions off this episode, what would Avinash tell them? That question number one, question number two, three, four, five, or how many? Give us that checklist.
Okay. I'll give you the checklist in a minute, but I have a shortcut before that. The shortcut is that the 25 of us have already done the hard work to create this list, where you can find this list of 24 of the 25 names on one single website called feeonlyindia.com. You just go there, you have this list of 24 people in alphabetical order. You open those 24 websites, and we have already done all this filtering, which I'm going to talk about after this. If 24 is too long a list, we have one more option, which is an IIT Madras professor called Pattabhiraman Murari, who first started creating such a list in 2014. He has a list of a subset of 13 of these people who are the most established out of these 24, 25.
So you're saying that you're giving explicit recommendations that these are the people that you recommend. Go to this website and check out these recommended people. And if 25 is too much for you, then go to Pattu's website. Pattu is a very, very extremely popular person. He's got like thousands and thousands and thousands of followers on social media. His website is FreeFinCal. He's also come on. So you're saying that, right? That you'll get recommendation number one and recommendation number two, right?
Yes. But the client still needs to do one thing. They still need to figure out which of those 13 or 25 fits their style. So I would be the wrong RIA for many of your listeners. I would be a right RIA for maybe 2% of them. Similarly, to figure out that mapping of me as a client to this RIA, which RIA is right, you can't really figure out which RIA is right from the website. What I recommend is you figure out three who you should speak to, and then go with your gut feel of getting down to one. But let me just answer your question, which you asked, which is a checklist. I mean, this is just the way I would go about it. But it could be that, you know, your friend recommended someone or a relative recommended someone. So you need to kind of think through, is this the person my friend recommended I want to work with? So how do you start from first principles and figure out, is this the person I want to work with? So the first is, check, is the person registered with SEBI? The SEBI website lists every single RIA in India. They could be an individual, in which case it's listed in their name, or it could be listed, they're a corporate, so the company name is listed. So step one is go check the SEBI website and see that they are listed there.
And how many are listed out there by SEBI?
There are 1,300 plus listed, but only 3,000 are active.
Wow.
But of that, half are something like a PMS-like service. There are only, say, 500 who offer something like financial planning. So actually, the set of possible financial planners in India is 500. Again, most of them are actually distributors masquerading as RIAs. So the set who are actually RIAs in spirit is only 150.
So that's because SEBI hasn't opened their eyes or something, is it?
Because of this insurance thing, that SEBI doesn't want to step on the turf of IRDA and prevent these people
Go on, sure. So 1,300 break it down to 500, break it down to what's the final number out there?
So 150 are following it in spirit of no commission at all.
And out of 150, again, there are just 20, 25 that you think are actually worth it.
Yeah, and actually, it's not a very surprising number because this 25 number in the US is 140, a country that is 20 years ahead of India. Is just 140.
Okay.
So it's 25 is not a bad number.
Go on, please.
So step one, go to SEBI website, check. So that helps you figure out a distributor versus an RIA. At least that much, it lets you figure out. Second, focus on the people who are actually financial planners because half the RIAs, as I said, are actually offering a PMS-like service saying, I'll help you invest 5 lakh rupees, 10 lakh rupees in these direct equity shares. That's not what you need. What you need is a financial planner. So some of them work with bigger numbers like 25 lakhs, etc. But there are various technology options now which say that even they'll probably provide you advice on 1 lakh of investment or 50,000 rupees of investment through either ETFs or shares or whatever, or through various platforms. So that leave out that entire set of 500, which is not relevant. So they have to say that they're financial planners. The third is, in the agreement with the RIA, insist that SEBI specifies that all RIAs have to sign a comprehensive, almost 7-8 page agreement with clients. Insist that that agreement says that the RIA will not earn any commission directly or indirectly from any products that you invest in or that the RIA advises you on. This eliminates all those who are RIAs on paper, actually distributors, but are RIAs on paper. The fourth is to ask about the fee structure. Is it a percentage of AUM or is it a fixed fee? Naturally, I've made my views clear. If the person says, and also ask about the fees, not just in the first year, but in the second year, if you choose to renew the engagement. May not choose to renew it, but if you choose to, because that's the recurring fee that's going to be there for the next 10, 20, 30 years possibly. So that fee is very important. And typically the fee should drop in the second year because the work is much less in the second year. You're just, rebalancing, if at all you need to rebalance, which itself is a question mark whether someone needs to rebalance or just tweaking some things here or there. Somebody's got a bonanza from their ESOPs, etc. Finally, if the annual fees are, the recurring fees on the second year onwards are more than say 20,000-25,000 rupees, which just means it's a material amount, then ask for a breakdown of how many hours of effort is this and what's the fee per hour. Typically a percentage of AUM RIA will not answer this question, but you could try to figure out what's going on. You could also then go benchmark against some other hourly fee RIAs like myself or Swapnil and say, okay, Avinash charging 7,000 an hour, why is this guy? He won't answer the question. The percentage of AUM RIA won't answer it. But if you could kind of decompose the fees, you figure out that why am I spending so much? What am I getting out of it? At least you can ask the question, what extra am I getting if out of paying 10 lakhs a year on a recurring basis? What more are you giving me? The person will usually have a very convincing story, but then you have to decide, is that story really convincing to you? My answer is there is no such convincing story.
Okay, understood. Is that it? Is that the list then?
That's it, I would say. That's the list.
Oh, okay, folks. So there you have it. And Avinash, final thing, where can our listeners reach out to you if they want more details or they want to talk with you?
Sure. My website is fiduciaries.in. I'll spell it out. It's a strange term. So it's fiduciaries.in. The term just stands for, what it means is that a fiduciary is someone who's supposed to put the client's interest ahead before the professional's interest, which is what doctors and lawyers are supposed to do, and which is what SEBI demands that RIAs do. Whether RIAs do it or not is secondary, but that's what SEBI demands that RIAs should do.
Sure.
I write in Mint and other places, and that's one place where people could figure out. So my articles are available on my website, even for people that I'm not relevant to. The 40-odd articles there give you a sense of a good way to think of investing in terms of, and the previous episode of your podcast, of how you can design a portfolio with just 0.2% fees per annum.
Understood, folks. So there you go. That is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, Avinash Dutria, a fee-only SEBI-registered investment advisor. Avinash, thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you, Anupam. Thank you so much.
And now, the great privilege tip of the week. This episode was about financial planning. So folks, it's very important for you to create a financial plan for your money. Very important. Your financial plan will help you manage your money and, more importantly, keep it in track with your financial goals. And thank you, listeners, for listening to this episode. If you're enjoying this show, please do share it with your friends, family, and people that you know. That would be really helpful for us. You can listen to this show and other interesting shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter and B_50 on Instagram. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Vaisa, presented by Cred, the most rewarding credit card bill payments app and powered by Quantum.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcasts Network. On Cock and Bull, Cyrus Antariksh and Masoom discuss people's search history on Swiggy and the bizarre news of a dog being asked for a ransom in Noida. We have a special announcement this Christmas, introducing Club Paisa Vaisa, where you can get episodes of Paisa Vaisa 3 days before the release, bonus and ad-free content, and access to the full show archive. So get your yearly membership today for only ₹6.99. Log on to club.ivmpodcasts.com/paisavaisa. On Simplified, the hosts discuss the origin of the word that's abbreviated as BS and how to recognize when someone is BSing. On Paisa Vaisa, Anupam talks to Sangeet Pariyani, founder of Superkicks. They discuss the growing fondness for Jordans, Yeezys and other sneaker brands in India. And on The Advertiser's Guide to the Galaxy, Karthik talks about a clever campaign idea, which is Indian matchmaking famed Seema Taparia's announcement of her new position on LinkedIn. Once again, don't forget to visit our merch store on ivmpodcasts.com. We have some exciting stuff for you. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. If you like our show, spread the word, tell your friends, and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. You'll also find our shows on youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week, Capgemini and HDFC Mutual Fund. Thank you for making this possible.